Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Josh?
Yes, Scott.
I am looking for adult DVDs.
I can tell you exactly where to go. You will go to adamandeve.com.
I will go to adamandeve.com.
You will use the promo code STATIC.
I will use the promo code STATIC.
And you will get free shipping.
I will get free shipping.
You will get three free adult DVDs.
I will get three free porno movies.
You will get 50% off of a single item.
I will get half off a single item.
And you will get a free mystery gift that is lost in the ether of my mind.
These are not the droids I'm looking for.
All right, actually just go to adamandeve.com and use the promo code STATIC, and we're not going to do that again because that was annoying.
That was kind of dumb, wasn't it?
It was your idea.
I know, it was completely my idea, but that's just the way my mind doesn't work all the time.
Frankly, because I'm getting sick and tired of saying, hey, how do you want to do the Adam and Eve promo tonight? Do you want to do it straight? And you always go, joke too often, my man.
Yes.
What? What are you playing with knobs for?
Nothing. I don't play with knobs. I don't know what you're talking about.
So leave the fucking soundboard alone.
I will, as soon as people can actually hear us and don't have to crank up their radio. Sorry, everybody. Sorry about that.
So, Scott, have you ever played a video game that all of a sudden you realize you've played before, even though you have not played this particular game before?
Yes, plenty of times.
Because right now the industry seems to be just glutted with just lazy, lazy game design.
It's not just a right now thing either.
It's been throughout the whole.
Well, the first example I can think of is, I've talked about the arcade that I grew up with, Sultan's Castle. And you remember a great, great game, had the rolly ball controller and the little button called Centipede, of course. Well, they got an updated version, and it was basically a cabinet graphics swap and then a motherboard swap they threw on it. And that was Millipede.
I remember that.
And Millipede was Centipede, really, just sped up a little bit.
With a little bit better music.
Yeah, with a little bit better music. And that was my first, oh, I've played this. Other clones, how many times have you played Super Mario Brothers that wasn't Super Mario Brothers?
Dozens. A great one. Have you ever played the Alien video game for the Atari?
No.
You play Pac-Man, right?
Yes.
Then you've played the Alien video game. Really? It is Pac-Man. You're going around. The story, in quotes, is you're going around and you're picking up the alien eggs, the dots.
Okay.
And you're being chased by the aliens, the ghosts, and you are Pac-Man. It's literally Pac-Man with slight graphical differences, and it's fucking Alien it's an officially licensed 20th Century Fox cartridge.
Well, we also had back in the 90s, I remember a great Neo Geo at a place called the Flying Tomato Pizza Place, and they would swap out games every now and then, but it seemed like every single one of them was a fighting game.
Well, that was after the Mortal Kombat Street Fighter 2 hit big. Everybody said, fighting games fucking sell. Make one quick.
Oh, yeah. Eternal Champions, Street Fighter.
Eternal Champions was one of those rare ones that actually was more story-based, and there was a reason for all the fighting. Eternal Champions was not a clone like some of the other ones.
Okay. But you know, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, thousands of iterations of these games with very few differences.
Street Fighter 2, Hyperdrive Edition, 3D Edition, graphical upgrade for the PlayStation, and also for the Xbox, and for the PS2, and for the Wii, and it's the exact same fucking game!
Yeah, definitely. What are the golf games? How many different golf games do we need? Golden Tee.
I'd say sports, any sport. Any sport, it's basically the exact same game.
And the big offender there, and I realize I'm going to get email because they're going to go, no, this particular version innovated this, and then you have quarterback view, and you have this, and this was added on. And it was all, football is like a potato. Madden.
As you peel its layers, you cry. Wait, that's an onion. What am I talking about again? Exactly.
But so Madden is like that. And that to me is just, I mean, that's one form of lazy video game design of let's update the stats, update the graphics a little bit, and re-release the same game.
Which is pretty much what the Modern Warfare and Call of Duty games do.
Exactly.
I mean, somebody recently posted a challenge online where they took a still shot of like one of the Call of Duty games. And it's, you know, you can see the buildings and it's whatnot. So it's just not like some random shot. And he says, I dare you to tell me which Call of Duty game this is from. So far, no one's been able to just guess it. You know, he's like, tell me the level in the game because they're all the exact same thing. So this could literally be from any one of the fucking games.
Okay, let's talk. There's another type of lazy video game design that I can't stand. You're designing a house. Let's say you have a safe in the wall, and the safe requires two keys to open and a combination. Where do you keep those two keys?
Well, if it's a survival horror game, you keep one of them way on the other side of the house, buried at the back of the fireplace. But before that, you're going to need to get the combination to the lock that key is in, which is buried on the other end of the house. And if it's a survival horror game, it's what's called backtracking.
Yes. How many times can we have this? How many times can we reuse this level that we've designed and are very proud of?
And, you know, back in like the Genesis days, I could understand that because you only have so much space in a cart. By the time the PlayStation came along, that was inexcusable. You had so much space. There was no reason you could not have actually designed what's that called? Different levels.
Yeah. A great game where backtracking is not required. You had quite a few of them, like Duke Nukem 3D, not much backtracking there. And then you had Descent, which, if you've never played that game, it's great. It's a not really first. You're flying a ship, but you move in all three directions, all three dimensions. So you're flying a spaceship, and actual space physics works, and you end up flying through asteroids and stuff like that and into mines, and it's an incredible game. Very little backtracking. Survival horror is a big offender of that one. Even RPGs, lots and lots of backtracking for all the side quests and everything like that.
Well, trust me, I've got complaints about RPGs, but we'll save those.
We'll get there.
I think you know the word I'm thinking of, and it starts with a G. Grinding.
There you go. But to me, I realize there are financial constraints. I realize there are time constraints and stuff like that. But really, in this day and age, when a game costs me $60, I'm one of the ones where I would rather that it take an extra 8 to 10 months to develop and to work and to not have me do all that backtracking. Batman, and give me new levels and take a little bit longer to come out, especially when you're paying $60 to $70 for a game, you know, as much as $120 for a special release or for a limited edition or something like that. Give me a not lazy game.
Well, another thing on that same token would be, especially if you're in an outdoor environment, all of a sudden you run into that invisible wall that you can't walk past. Actually, you know, put a wall there or something that tells me I can't run this direction. Instead of just hitting the grass and going, why am I just running in place?
That's one thing I'll give Call of Duty. I believe it was Call of Duty. It's one of those. I'll give them credit on that one. Instead of invisible walls, since I'm trying to think of the particular level that took place in Soviet Russia, and it took place around Pripyat, which is the city near Chernobyl.
Okay.
And the deal was, if you left the designated areas where you saw a little sign, as opposed to running into a wall, you ran into irradiated ground.
Okay, see,
and if you spend if you spend too much time in the irradiated ground, you die.
Yeah, see, I'm all right with that. Not just stopping me dead. And what's even worse is the walls only stop you in some games. I was playing Tenchu Z, and whenever you kill a guy, if they drop something, it kind of pops out and shoots over like in an arc. And sometimes the item will fall over the invisible wall. So the item just passed through that wall, but I can't pass through to go pick up the item.
Exactly.
And it's like, you fucking son of a... irritating. I hate that shit. You know, just put the wall there. If I can't pass through it, the item shouldn't pass through it.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to.
I hear you. Or at least, you know, if you're going to let items go through, make it a cliff.
Yeah, the item falls over the cliff.
Exactly. The item falls over the cliff. You
go over, but I'm going to fucking die.
Exactly. If I go get that med pack, I'm going to die.
Well,
how ironic.
Another really lazy thing is something that they keep trying to justify. Levels people hate, or a type of gameplay that everybody hates. Escort missions. Every goddamn modern game has a fucking escort mission. You go to any video game store, any online forum, talk to any video game fans, what's their number one complaint? We hate escort missions. So every game designer, they add a difference to the gameplay, so you're not just doing the same thing.
No, you're doing the same thing with someone that slows you down, and if they die, you start over.
It's irritating.
Annoying.
I hate escort missions.
Actually, there's another version. While we're just kind of ranting and getting these out here.
Might as well.
I mean, we're only 10 minutes in. Why not? I can't stand modern racing games.
I've never liked racing games, even back in the NES era.
I can't stand modern racing games. The reason being, it's called rubber banding.
Okay.
Okay. You go and you're absolutely kicking ass on this level. I mean, you're ready to come around the track and lap these guys. You're way out there in front. And there is no way that the AI racers should be able to catch you. But guess what? Somehow, some way, boing, up they come.
Well, and then there's also, on that same token, could we say the AI cheats at times? Would that be fair to call it cheating as part of the game design?
I don't know if that's lazy game design or just bad game design, but yeah, excuse me, everybody. I have seen too many games where you get one of two things. You get the AI that is so incredibly stupid, it just does...
There's no gameplay.
Welcome to Escort Missions 101. You've got the AI that the guy you're trying to escort goes, you know what? I realize that this office building is filled with a bunch of guys that want to shoot me, but I'm just going to keep walking down this aisle at the same pace.
You have to protect me.
You have to protect me. And then you've got, even if you're doing friendly fire AI, they go, nah, we don't need to take cover or anything. We're just going to run right the hell into this huge bullet storm and go nuts. And I don't know if that's lazy or just bad programming.
Because I've run into, along the same token, you know, especially if it's an AI teammate, when they don't seem to get what you're doing. You know, you're sighting up the bad guy, you're ready to snipe him. And as soon as you pull the trigger, your partner sits right in front of you and gets shot in the head. And you go, what the hell was that? You know, what? Stop getting... Numerous times you're playing a game and your AI teammates, they're not helping. They're in your fucking way.
There is one game, again, that I'll give credit for. And it's because it was made by the right people. And it's the only tactical shooter that I've seen that's realistic, that has decent AI, that's challenging but not impossible.
Which is?
America's Army.
I don't know if I've played that one. Is that training one that they use to really train recruits on?
Yes.
Okay.
There's two versions. There's the first, there's that one that you were talking about where they did the training, and that's a free download that was actually published.
I actually got a demo disc in the newspaper
one week. And that was the free game released by the Army, and then... I forget what publishing company, but some publishing company bought the rights, and now there's like an Xbox version of America's Army, and it's a COD clone, and it's not.
All of a sudden when he gets shot, all the strawberry jam starts accumulating on the side of the screen.
Exactly. And if you go and you just kneel down for a little while, you heal.
Which I'm able to accept in like a Halo game. Sure. Because you're a cyborg and it's in the future. That technology I'll buy exists. Or, when you're in Vietnam, no, that's not how that worked.
Or BioShock, which, you know, yes, you're in the past, but it's an
alternate past.
Yeah, and that I can see as a mechanic of a way of dealing, you know, especially coming from the old arcade games where they were made to suck quarters. So, for instance, yeah. one of my favorite arcade games in the world, Defender. Great. You talk about backtracking.
The whole game is essentially
the whole game is essentially the same that you run through. But, you know, you go and you play for 2.5 seconds and boule.
Do you know what the average time on that was?
No.
7.2 seconds.
Wow.
I read the history on video games and they said that was designed so you die every 7.2 seconds unless you're a magnificent player.
That makes sense. And then it seems like we've switched over to the other side. For instance, BioShock, if I really put my heart and soul into it, I can go through that entire game on one life. And it's just a matter of finding the right cover and kneeling down and waiting to heal. But I can appreciate that.
I got that good in the arcade at Forgotten Worlds. I was able to do that entire game on one play. I actually got so good at Forgotten Worlds in the arcade.
Well done.
For an arcade game, I'm proud of that. That's something definitely. I'm very, very proud of.
So can you think of other, I mean, what are some other types? I've got rubber banding in the racer games. I've got, you know.
We have to bring up the G1. Grinding in RPGs.
Yes.
I am just, okay, I get that, you know, you level up as you fight the monsters. Fine. I'm all right with that. But I shouldn't have to just walk around and level for 5 goddamn hours to be able to take on boss number 2.
Yeah.
It should be the monsters I encounter on my way to getting to boss number 2 should get me to the level that I need to be at. That, I don't see why, is so difficult. Not grinding and just, you know, I mean, there are times where you don't advance your character or your story at all. You're just walking around in random monsters and monster encounters for two gameplay days straight. Just going, I got to level up. I need to be level 30 to take on this boss.
My wife did something absolutely brilliant. She was playing Final Fantasy VII, and she has a true and deep love for Final Fantasy VII, and I don't know.
I better keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, I know. I understand. But just for fun, on like her third playthrough, she got out of the first major boss fight when you would then leave the city and you kind of go out into the country to
random monster
encounter area. And she decided to stay in random monster encounter area, the first random monster encounter area, going back and forth and all over the place until she completely leveled up her characters 100%.
So she maxed them out.
Exactly. And then she played through the rest of the game, and a game that, if you take out the grinding, probably was a good 6 or 7 hours of gameplay. Leaving the grinding in was like 38 hours of gameplay.
Well, and sometimes it is fun to overpower your character like that. Like after you beat for Resident Evil, for example, you go, one of the things you unlock is the rocket launcher. Unlimited ammo. So anything dies with one fucking hit. Okay, there's no challenge anymore. But it's kind of fun to just go blowing the shit out of everything.
This is why I still do a lot of PC gaming. Because
modding?
Yeah, I can mod things. I can play with my save file a little bit or get in and edit it. And yeah, that's cheating. But
sometimes it's fun.
Sometimes, for instance, a great game, Half-Life 2. You can bring down the console, and not only do you get God mode and no clipping and all of the standard ones, but you can also give yourself the uber weapons that you normally wouldn't get until the very end of the game. And it is a blast to go through those first few levels where you're not even supposed to have a weapon above a crowbar. and you have the alien energy beam killer weapon, and you're just like, eh, screw this.
Which is one thing that really annoyed me about Metal Gear Solid 2. You get a sword in the game so late that you don't really get a chance to play with it. It's like, I want to use this sword on the early levels, goddammit.
In fact, in that Half-Life 2 game, I modded my save file to give him Gordon Freeman the Uber weapons. And what's hilarious is I somehow, and I don't know how I did this, but during one of the locked story modes where the characters kind of interact and you just kind of watch them as you're moving through the level.
Okay.
One of the bad guys that was supposed to beat up on this defenseless civilian got zapped. So he's dead, but the civilian is still reacting as if he's being beaten up by nothing.
I've seen that. One of the Alien versus Predators for PC, whatever reason, this one type of alien, it glitched out. It just appeared as nothing, but it was still interacting with things. So you've got Marines getting dragged into vents by nothing. You hear them, and blood going. There's nothing dragging them into the vent, but the Marine is getting sucked into the vent.
So, somehow the aliens are using the force to take...
All of a sudden, they've got Predator cloak technology somehow. Well, it's an Aliens versus Predator game, so I guess it makes some sort of weird, twisted sense. But
strange way.
But, you know, the whole grinding thing, it is just... There is no reason for that other than for them to go, well, we've only got 6 hours of gameplay, like you said, on Final Fantasy VII. Now we can put 30 to 40 hours of gameplay. It's a selling point, yet it's something everybody hates as a player.
And luckily, I'll tell you the one place that I'm seeing these trends start to go away. Independent gaming. Independent gaming developers.
Because those are the people that got pissed off and are saying, I'm going to fix this.
Exactly. Wow.
Just brain fart?
Yeah, because I had one in mind. The lead character is Tim. It was one of the independent games that you could reverse time. Braid.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one.
Kind of tedious gameplay, but a fun game. And the big deal was if you died, as opposed to getting another life or something, the player could reverse time and try again.
Oh, so like the end of Galaxy Quest.
Kind of, sort of. And that, I think, was a magnificent... I mean, that is literally backtracking
but that,
to an extreme used in a good way.
Well, and then something else I think... Now, this I'm not going to call lazy game design, but it's annoying logical game design. Let's take Resident Evil, for example. You're in this old, rundown mansion filled with monsters, fine? You've got a grenade launcher. Why do I have to go get the key from way on the other side and fight all these monsters when I can just blow this fucking wooden door off of its hinges and go through it? Why can't I just use my weapons as weapons and blow a hole in the fucking door? Or the wall, I mean.
Yeah, well, that... I can kind of
understand.
That's why I said
I'm not calling that lazy.
I can kind of understand that, because if the environment reacted realistically at all times, games cease to be fun after a while.
Look at like the Force Unleashed games, though. That's got almost fully destructible environments, and that's kind of fun. Even after you've killed all the guys on a level, you go back through the level to see what else you can wreck.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, which is always fun to knock over consoles, and, you know, especially if you're in a ship, knock out the window and it sucks all the loose debris right out into space and stuff. That's kind of fun when you got a fully destructible environment like that. But that's not lazy. It's lazy when, especially one of the things that really bugged me about The Force Unleashed was you get so used to, you know, you get all of your powers by, say, the third or fourth level, and you get so used to them. So if you play it again, you're not, why can't I throw my lightsaber on level? Oh, because I haven't learned that yet. God damn it.
Yeah. There's something, Bioshock, when I had all of the psychic powers, basically, and all of that stuff. Yeah.
On a replay, you're so used to having this stuff.
Like, wait, I want to use telekinesis. I'll just bring that over to me. And is it, wait, oh, I can't. damn it.
Well, another lazy one would be something the Metal Gear series is way too reliant on. And no, I don't mean the overly long cinematics that are 15 minutes long where you're not playing anything, you're just watching a guy talking. It's, have you ever played Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty?
No.
Okay,
I'm not a Metal Gear fan, but...
Okay, at one point you meet a demolitions expert, and he says, okay, there are like 7 bombs hidden throughout this facility. We have to find them, and you get this can of coolant that you use to cool them down so you can safely defuse them.
Okay.
Fine. And go, okay, I know the bombs are out there. No matter what, no matter how many times you've played through it, you have to sit through the 8 minutes that this guy is telling you, okay, this is how this is done. And it's like, okay, the tutorial the first time. All right, I'm fine with that. I'm playing this again. Why can't I just go, why can't I skip this? I can skip all the cutscenes. Why can't I skip the tutorial? Is that to hide a load screen? Is that covering a load screen? Or is it just, we forgot to put the button in that allows you to skip this?
Possibly. I don't know. Unskippable tutorials. And this is really bad. Like on my iPad or my iPod, when you install a game for the first time, and it goes through all of the tutorials on all of the levels and stuff like that. Kind of useful the first time, but let's say something happens and you have to reinstall this stuff. Well, now you have to sit through the tutorials again.
Mm-hmm.
And reinstalling, cleaning out and reinstalling stuff on things like iPods, phones, iPads, and a lot of the mobile platforms is not uncommon. Please, game designers, please allow me to go. I've played this before.
Yeah. Just ask let me in. Do you want to view the tutorial? Not so difficult.
And to be honest, there are a lot out there that do that, and huzzah to them. The ones that don't, I want to punch in the face, and their grandmother hates them.
Right. Well, and then you also have, kind of on that same thing, when you've got unskippable cutscenes. This was... Or let me backtrack a little bit. Playing an RPG on like the Sega Genesis or the Nintendo Entertainment System or the SNES. Okay, you've got all the little dialogue things going and whatnot. Why can't I just hit a button and the dialogue plays out? Why do you... It types a sentence, you have to hit A. It types a sentence, you have to hit A. A sentence, A. Good God. I mean, you're just sitting there going...
Come on.
For 5 straight minutes, it's like, okay, fine. But why can't I just hit it and the conversation moves? I don't need to read every line and then hit the button. That is so irritating as an RPG fan.
And it was especially... I guess this kind of got fixed in Final Fantasy VII, but prior to that on the older console games, when instead of just doing the smart thing and Zelda, this not the original Zelda, but one of the Zeldas with dialogue, it would type out the line and then it would type out the next line.
And you couldn't do anything until it was done.
And thank God in most ones, it starts typing out the line and you can go space bar and they just, there's your text.
Yep.
That I like. Don't make me sit there while all the stupid talky-talky, well, I want to shoot things.
At least a game like Mass Effect 1, remember the long elevator scenes? God. But at least they had new dialogue interactions between the characters or a new news update from the Intergalactic News Service to cover that. So you were still getting new information while the elevator was loading this next screen.
And to the programmers of Mass Effect, I know you all listen to this show.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, I've been trying to get that Mass Effect 3 screener and nobody will get back to me, goddammit.
But I think the long elevator rides covered a loading sequence. A lot of them did. They would load up
the elevator
and they even make fun of it in Mass Effect 2, but that is a brilliant way to cover a loading screen. And again, it was new information. Because you
notice it's a loading screen at that point.
Exactly. And it was fun to get those updates and the hilarious, some of the dialogue in that elevator.
Oh, I laughed so hard. And the dialogue, since you had your different NPCs with you, depending on who you had with you,
would change.
Would totally change. I remember when I had Rex and Ashley with me once, and they were arguing who would win in a fight between, you know, Commander Shepard and Ash. I think Rex was asking, and I just started laughing. Like, one of the answers Ash gave was like, I would never fight my commander. And he goes, that's why you'd lose. I just laughed so hard when that happened. And it's just an elevator screen covering a load time.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And here's something else that I can't think of a game that did this, but as a concept to me, I would really enjoy. If you do have to have a loading screen, for instance, Mass Effect 2, had those long load screens with the schematic of the ship moving and everything like that. And I saw that 3 billion times, and it was boring. What I would like to see during those loading screens, show me a little inside baseball. Show me some concept art. Show me something, you know.
Audio bloopers from some of the voice actors.
Yeah, audio bloopers from some of the voice actors. Even if you want to keep your programming simple and just display text, again, yeah, trivia, something kind of fun. And I'm struggling to think of a game that did this. I know there are a few out there that they would give you. I always called them trivia bumpers, but you see it on like Pawn Stars on TV.
Yeah.
Going to commercial, they, you know, what's the biggest seller in the yeah. pawn shop, A, B, or C,
yeah.
and then you learn when you get back. Well, I've seen loading screens like that of going, you know, how many times did blah have to do this take in this character?
Well, and you know, there are certain ones, like I know you're a big Mass Effect fan. Remember when you're searching on the various planets and you got to drop the probes? Did you ever go back to the Milky Way and do it?
Yes.
When you go to Uranus
yes.
and you click probe Uranus, yes. instead of the normal screen, the computer just goes, really, Captain? Really?
Exactly.
And I thought, that was brilliant. That's not what I was expecting to
exactly.
happen there.
And the second time, it's like, are you going to make me say this?
yeah.
You had to do it like 4 times before the computer was just like,
fine, do it.
Probing Uranus, Captain.
You know? Yeah. And it's like, that's brilliant. I'm sure they did not get the vocals on that on the first fucking take either.
Exactly.
Another thing, this I'm not going to so-call lazy because a lot of game designers will call this, well, that's part of the challenge, is especially in a first-person game, you don't know where you're getting shot from. You're getting hit, all of a sudden your strength bar is going down, and you're looking around, you have no clue where you're getting shot from, or the guy that's constantly behind you is smacking you on the head with a hammer. It's like, hey, how about, you know, the Halo game started to do this where they give that little arrow that shows
yeah.
you're getting hit from this direction, turn this way.
I was going to say.
But there are some games that don't do that. They just, where am I getting shot from?
Yeah, Half-Life 1 is the first game that I played that did that. And you had up, down, left, and right. And if all four went off, you were getting hit from the front. If, you know, left or right, obviously left
right.
or right, and behind, I think it was just the down one was behind, and it was nice because you were, since you don't have that sensory feedback, for instance, if you were really as part of
getting
a
hit.
Shooter and somebody shoots you in the back, you're not going to go, did I just get shot in the back? The world just flashed red for a moment. Wait, I'm dead.
Oh, shit, there's jelly on the screen.
Exactly. Oh, crap, there's red jelly around the screen. Oh, boy. Since you don't have that tactile feedback, and I realize that there are, and I'm... If so anybody owns one, just let me know and give me your address, and I will go and punch you for being a complete loser. But you've seen those vests with the little inflatable air bladders.
Yeah.
So if you're getting hit in the back, the little air bladder in the back goes boop, and you're just...
Yeah.
What?
Oh, fuck you. And it because what it comes down to is they always justify this, well, it's more realistic because when you're on the real battlefield, you don't get a little arrow telling you where the bullet's coming
yeah,
from.
And I also,
but I'm playing a game.
Not only am I playing a game, but I also can't take 20 shots to the face, kneel down, and get better.
And everything's okay. I can't take a med pack, rub it all over my body, and I'm back to good again.
Exactly. Team Fortress 2, I always love playing the medic because you're everybody's best friend. You know, and
over here.
Exactly. And if I had a med gun that could supercharge my friends, Yeah, that's part of the game. Game, game. I can't stress enough.
It's not realistic. Game. It's not meant to be. And another thing is, especially a couple of games, they penalize you for the stupidity of your AI. If you accidentally kill your AI teammates, you can actually, oh, one of your teammates died, you know, get level, you lose.
Yeah.
They ran in front, you know, you're sitting here with a Gatling gun and just spraying fire in this direction, and they just run right into your field of fire, and you go, no, bad game. Or Resident Evil 5, if you're not playing with a partner and you have the AI playing Shiva, you carefully lay out all your mines. You start to lure the bad guy in, and then Shiva goes and starts picking up all your mines, and you go, no, what are you, stop it, stop.
Hang on.
Stop, well, stupid computer.
Actually, before people get mad at us, because I've gotten a couple of letters going, you harp on a lot of stuff, but you never give an example of good. One of the best examples of good AI. Ever play a Lego game?
No.
The Lego games, Lego Pirates, Lego Star Wars, stuff like that. Your AI partner, if you're not playing with a partner in real life, is just flipping brilliant.
We bring it up all the time, but the Mass Effect games, the two AI characters you take with you on most missions, they, I mean, yes, you can instruct them, hey, you know, Rex, go over here, you know, yes, flank this. If you just leave them to their own devices, you can pretty much just sit back. If you don't want the experience, you can sit back and they'll take out all the bad guys, exactly, on their own, and they'll take them out very effectively.
Exactly. And in fact, I remember there were a couple of times when I was ready to snipe, you know, some baddie off.
And then all of a sudden Kasumi goes going dark, no, and comes up and, well, kills the guy.
Either that, or I would just see Rex, you know, blood rage. And, you know, and I'd be like, dude, wait, no, I want
to
shoot.
I'm trying to get the achievement for 50 headshots. Stop
exactly.
It.
You know, but that's good AI. And it, you know, what's really funny about the AI of Mass Effect? There is one mission toward the very beginning of Mass Effect 2. Where it's basically the tutorial mission of going, okay, to continue, instruct blah to go to this side of the door,
oh, yeah,
and blah to go to this side of the door.
When you first escape the little, yeah, complex where you're put back together.
And then you kneel down here. That is the only time I gave my AI instructions.
I actually did that a lot, where I would, you know, there'd be one of them flamethrower guys, which, you know, if they catch you in a corner, they can eat through your shields, yeah, like nothing. Yeah. So I would send, you know, like, especially I favored Kasumi because I loved her going dark, and she basically, not literally, but almost teleports right,
yeah,
behind him and kills him in one shot.
Yes.
So I would always instruct Kasumi, that guy's pissing me off. You know, you over there, take out this sumbitch.
Yeah.
I used Kasumi for that a lot because she wasn't strong, but I loved her going dark power.
Right.
So Kasumi was very fun in that. But you've got just how much of this can we label, especially when it comes to AI, to technical limitations or lazy design? How much can we really lay at the feet of lazy design?
I wish I could give more to technical limitations. And the older games, classic games and stuff like that, yes, technical limitations, I can understand. When the only instruction you can give is the AI wants to get to this goal and
it uses
the shortest route possible. Well, the shortest route possible isn't always the safest route possible. And that kind of stuff with the classic games, I can lay down to technical limitations, even the old PC games and stuff like that. But then you see the same kind of programming on an Xbox 360 of the AI obviously has a set goal in mind and almost a set path. And you just go, okay, is this technical limitation?
It's just going through the motions.
And then you have a game like Mass Effect 2 or some of the, I think Battlefield I heard has decent AI on it. And even
Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Yeah, they've got
the last one I played. That's got pretty good damn AI.
You see this good allied AI, and you're just like, okay, so they took the time to program it here. Was it something that they learned overnight between these two games?
Or they made the mistake on the previous game, which,
yeah,
told them what not to do on the next
exactly.
game.
Exactly. So I don't know if it's really lazy programming, but uninformed programming.
Well,
to go back
to the whole lazy thing, like I said, you cannot deny the fact that all the Modern Warfares and Call of Duties and all that are the exact same game, which is like, even the Halo games really shook that up with Reach and ODST. ODST, you actually get your ass killed because you keep playing it like a traditional Halo game. Because an ODST trooper is not a Spartan. They right. can't take half the damage. They don't do as much damage. They can't move as fast. They can't jump as fast. So you can't do, in a Halo game, you can run in there, spray fire, duck, spray fire. On ODST, you need strategy. You need to aim. You need to go for headshots. It's a totally different type of gameplay. So that really shook up the formula.
Sure.
And Reach, being a prequel, you don't have nearly as advanced weapons as you do in the, you know, earlier
Halo 2, Halo 3, et cetera, right. et cetera, et cetera.
So it's a totally different type of gameplay. Even though it's essentially the same type of gameplay, it's a totally different type of gameplay, if that makes any sense. And that's when you start seeing them get innovative. They're going, we're doing something different. We're going to try something different. And usually the fans revolt when they do that, unfortunately.
Well, better the evil you know. And
but it's still unforgivable for like the Modern Warfares. Other than the clothes your AIs are wearing, every one of those games is exactly the same. And sometimes when they put a rock soundtrack in, like if you're in Vietnam, you'll hear, you know, the Stones or something like that, which is a nice touch, I will add.
Yeah.
But that's really the only thing they're doing different.
Yeah. And it's, but again, I can't blame the programmers for this. I really can't. Because I know a few game programmers, and I guarantee none of them sit down and go, okay, let's make a shitty game and make tons of money. None of them sit down to do that. They sit down to make...
They did in the 90s.
No, they didn't. Oh, not yeah. the programmers.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah.
Not the programmers. What you have is you also have these publishing houses, like EA with their sports games.
BioWare.
I would say Treyarch, but they're not quite as bad. But BioWare and a few others of these big publishing houses going, we have to make money. We're going to put the release date out there, and you're going to do everything you can to have it programmed and released by that date.
Oh, so the Atari ET.
Atari ET. Hey, guess
or
what?
Atari you've Pac-Man.
Got. Yeah, you've got, what, four, six months?
Weeks. No, six
weeks.
to program ET. He had 6 weeks.
Yeah. And
6 months was the normal time for an Atari game.
That I think is what unfortunately a lot of gamers sit down and mark that kind of thing up. It falls back on the programmers. But I can guarantee you nobody sits down and go, I'm gonna make a shitty game. I'm gonna boop 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 boop. There it is, it's out. You know,
I really like your dipshit voice you did there, too.
Well, hi, boop, everybody. Boop, boop, boop. That's how I program. And then you've got, you know, nobody sits down to do that. If they do, then what they do is they throw it out. It's, you know, it's a proof of concept type thing going. And again, I'm gonna go right back to iOS with the iPod and the iPad. There are a poop load of developers.
Poop load? You're
a
really poop going
load,
with poop load?
A poop load of developers. And it's not uncommon to see this independent developer throw out a shoot the smiley down the lane and make the things explode game. And usually when they publish something like that, they go, hey, this is my first game. It was a neat little experiment, but I've had some fun with it, so they'll throw it out there for free.
Right.
And, you know, you play it for 15 minutes and you go, ha, 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 wee! And then you delete it and never touch it again. But, you know, that kind of stuff I can understand. And, again, I'm going to go right back to my independent publishers, independent developers.
I think those are the frustrated people that got sick of it.
Yes. We talked, I don't remember whether it was you and I that talked about it or whether we talked off mic, but we talked about MUDs. And the old, basically Dungeons and Dragons on the old internet and stuff like that. There are guys that make this game called Kingdom of Loathing.
Okay.
Now, Kingdom of Loathing is a lot of fun. It's expansive, it's huge, and it is fucking hilarious. I mean, if you played the old MUDs, and that's basically what it is. It's an old MUD, but it's hard for me to explain any of the jokes, but there are tons of in jokes.
Okay.
If you played them and stuff like that, and they were frustrated guys that said this is all trite. cliche, stupid, and lazy. Let's make one of our own. KOL took off. And now they're developing and releasing other games for all kinds of platforms. And I feel horrible that I can't remember their names off the top of my head.
You'll remember it as soon as we're done
recording. Yeah, as soon as we're done recording. But check it out, and it's a lot of fun.
I got two more complaints I want to make. That
sure.
One really does fall into lazy, and one falls into you're being a douchebag. The lazy one is first-person shooters that do not give you iron sights. There is no excuse for not allowing iron sights to be able to sight up your fucking shot.
Yeah.
I mean, I really did like the Aliens versus Predator game, but the fact of no iron sights is so ridiculous.
I found a product real quick that I thought was hilarious. And what they are, they're little, the little static removable clingies. And the deal is, you fire up your Call of Duty, you get your crosshairs where they're going to be on your TV, you throw the cling over the crosshair,
and keep it,
and boom, you've got no scopes. You know, you shut it off, and you get no scopes and all of your extra points and extra achievements, and because it thinks that you're not using any scope or anything, but you've got this little transparent crosshair already there.
Well, and then my other complaint is cheap. I don't mean cheap in price.
Okay.
I mean cheap fucking deaths.
Yes.
First-person shooters are especially open to this. Like, when I first started playing the Halo games, I didn't start playing till after all of the current Halo games were out.
Okay.
So I played all these when they were not new. And you know, normal difficulty, okay, everything's fine. Why can the bad guy take 9 shots to the head just to get his shields dropped? He shoots me in the head once, boom, game over.
Yeah.
That's a cheap fucking death.
We're going to ramp up the difficulty not by actually throwing any skill into our opposing AI, but by just making them so damn powerful that you're going to have to use all of your skill and every piece of ammo you've got to, you know, have them get a bruise on their shoulder.
Right. Or I guess this falls into cheap, but it also falls into bad game design. When okay, you beat the bad guy, you know, on a certain level. This is like an open world kind of thing, so you don't have like level 3 completed, and it goes to the next one,
right,
and then all
right.
of a sudden, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Where do I go? Okay, literally, you're going, I have no clue where to go now. I have no clue what to do. One of the big complaints about the Halo games is, what do I do now? I have no clue where I'm supposed to go. I mean, I realize it takes you out of the realism, but how about an arrow that says, hey, that direction?
Fable handled it well. Fable 2 and Fable 3, they have what's called the Path of Knowing. And you can go through your little book of quests and set up which quest you want. And this path just kind of appears before you. And they use a little bit of intelligence of going, okay, your character grew up in this world. He or she is going to know this world well. And so that's what they call the Path of Knowing. You grew up around Sturgeon Bay and Green Bay and all of that. I could pretty much drop you anywhere in Sturgeon Bay and you'd be able to find your way home.
Right.
If you're just playing a game and somebody is playing Josh the character,
they're not
going to have that knowledge. So Fable gives you this little Path of Knowing. A little bit of a cheat, but necessary cheat. The other thing that there is the other extreme, though. Batman Arkham City is really bad about this.
Repetitiveness?
Not repetitiveness.
Because that's also just bad game design.
A kind of repetitiveness, but I'm still talking about that Path of Knowing. The deal with Arkham City is every 30 seconds, Batman talks to himself and repeats the current
objective.
You know, you run into a bunch of bad guys, you beat them up. I really need to get to the hotel to save the woman. You walk 20 feet. I need to get to the hotel to really save the woman. You walk 20 more feet. I really need to get to the hotel to save blood.
You know? Shut the fuck up.
And you're just like, Batman, I know I heard you the first time, you son of a bitch.
Well, but then repetitiveness is also one. Like Dead Space. Okay, fine. but they've only got like three different types of bad guys.
Yeah.
And you encounter hundreds upon hundreds, and it's just kind of, oh, goody, another bad guy. Shoot the limbs off, stomp them in the head.
You see the same thing with bad GMs in D&D games, tabletop games. Okay, you come across this clearing, and you run into 3,000 gibberlings.
Really?
Really?
Really? Gibberlings?
Yeah. You know, and so you fight, and you win, and then the king says, yay, and then you go, and you run into more gibberlings, and, oh, God.
Variety, people, variety.
Yes, that's when you look at your GM, and you go, you really need to pick up more than that one book, and please.
Well, and then you also get on that same line, okay, maybe there's only a couple of different kinds of bad guys, but what about the whole, how did that bad guy just get me? I just walked out of that room and then it somehow was there, but it wasn't there. I realize you're doing it to go, hey, look, you didn't see that coming, jump scare.
Yeah.
But how about you do that for something that actually makes sense?
Also, do me a favor, game developers, stop it with the respawns.
When I forget, clear a room, I want to know it's fucking clear.
Exactly. I forget what game I was playing, but it was literally walk in, clear a room, do your thing, walk out, do another thing, have to walk back in, and the same exact guys that I took out are in the same places the doing the Evil same things.
For the GameCube actually redid that brilliantly. Instead of, you know, after you shoot the zombie and their head explodes, they fall down. If you do not get a headshot, either from a close-up shotgun blast or sometimes the pistol would randomly give you a head pop.
Right.
Their bodies would fall, and they wouldn't vanish. And so at first you're going, okay, that's a little bit weird. And then you've got kerosene and what, and a lighter later, and you can burn the bodies. Okay, that's weird. And since there's so much backtracking, after a while, the body gets basically like a head crab in it, and it comes after you with bleeding, poisonous fingers.
Wow.
So the bodies... You're only going to be able to walk past them four or five times before they're an enemy again. So you have to strategically figure out what bodies do I burn and which ones do I not have to waste my limited amount of kerosene on.
Right.
So that was a really brilliant way to deal with the whole respawning thing. Yeah, you cleared the room. That thing might come back after you, or it might not, depending on how long you fuck around trying to get, you know, gold key number four to open the thing on the other side of the fucking house.
See, that I understand. That I understand a lot.
And I also don't like bad guys.
Well, this is go ahead.
I was going to say, I also don't like when maybe something's following you, again, the Resident Evil remake on the GameCube, and you waste all your ammo. Okay, it's not dying. And then you read in the instruction, you know, or online, oh, yeah, nothing you do will harm this creature. Your whole goal is to run away from it. I just wasted every piece of ammunition I had to find that out. Fuckers!
The first time I ran into that, do you remember the old video game Berserk?
Oh, yeah. Evil Otto?
Yeah, you spend too much time in Evil Otto, the little smiley face comes after you. And I remember the first few times I played that was in the arcade.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there shooting the thing, and I'm just, what the hell? Finally, the arcade owner comes over and he goes,
Run away.
You, I realize you're 8. You're stupid. I have to learn you something.
Run away. So I do want to say, I found a really cool video game store here in Green Bay. They've been open for about a year. They're called Game Traders. They're over on 400 Reed Street in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All classic games.
So you are a friend from Serbia. Fly on over.
I'm just saying, if people are in the area, TurboGrafx-16, Sega Saturn, Sega CD, PC games. He's got a whole shelf of CDI games like we talked about last week. You know, this is the kind of stuff that you got to go to eBay to find.
Oh, definitely.
I bought Street Fighter 2010 for the NES in the box for only $15.
And on a more general sense, check out your local mom and pop game stores. We lost the mom and pop video stores, and we've talked about that and how valuable of a source that was. Gaming, there's still
a few.
Go out, support them, get to know the guys.
GameStop.
The guys at GameStop, you walk in and yeah, they know their shit, but they also try and, you know,
Everything's an upsell.
I'm trying to buy a game and they're offering me magazines and protection things and this and that and the other thing. And I'm just like, shut up and let me pay.
Well, the thing I hate about those is the fact that nothing, now it's nothing pre-PlayStation 2.
Right.
They won't take or sell.
So go to your independent game stores. They're still out there. Get to know the people. These are the people that truly, this is not just a job to them. This is a passion.
And if they're an honest person, Scott, they're not going to be jacking them up to eBay prices.
Exactly.
You're going to find this stuff for a reasonable price.
Exactly.
And that's something that people like GameStop don't seem to understand.
And we've got 30 seconds. They also pay a reasonable price for your game. So if you walk in with Final Fantasy Tactics, they're going to give you
because
a real price.
Because they're there to deal with the fans and the gamers. They're not there to make a ton of money.
So thanks a bunch for joining us, everybody. This, I'm, of course, Scott.
I guess I'm Josh.
Yeah, you're still Josh. But thanks a lot, and again, thank you so much for supporting us through Adam and Eve and everything and enabling us to get these mics.
Promo code STATIC.
Have a wonderful day.
Boo-hoo.